Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On today's episode, it's all about the history of eating utensils. What we do with eating utensils, it's not what it was upon invention, really. So we're going to talk about that, and it's going to be a two-parter.
Sounds good.
So this week, we'll talk about the history, how they developed them, and how we end up using them. Just broad strokes. I'm no historian here, but it's interesting. And then next week, we're going to go through the differences in the modern-day utensils, how to tell them apart, how to use them in their correct time and space.
Awesome.
But first, the intro. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a pawn while they play. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired. As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny DeVilla.
What's up, what's up, what's up, people?
Cutlery, silverware, flatware, utensils, tableware. What else? Service?
Chopsticks.
Chopsticks. No matter what you call them.
You got to eat with something.
You got to eat with something.
You got to eat with something.
And they may look standard, but they're not.
Okay.
I mean, we don't always call them by their correct names. And fewer places... They don't offer more than three courses.
Yeah.
So you have a choice. You either remark the table if you don't give them, you know, or you do the place settings.
Absolutely.
And what your restaurant, what do you guys do?
We do roll-ups, but they provide two forks and a knife.
Okay.
This way they have something. If we have, like, if they order an appetizer, there's already a fork. And this way we don't have to remark when they have for their dinner coming up.
Gotcha. And we do roll-ups as well. I find that if you're in your inside, outside, you don't want the silverware to be just exposed
all the time.
You know, unless you're completely inside, you can set the table and have them sit down and so on and so forth. And it depends on the style of the restaurant.
True. Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And we're not in control of all the courses they get to choose. So we don't really roll up a steak knife in there, you know.
Yeah, we don't either. Just a general, like a general knife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Now.
What some people will call a butter knife, but it's not, because we're going to learn that in this show.
We're going to learn that in the next week's
show. Oh, okay, cool.
Yes. Yes, we are. I mean, originally what I wanted to do was go through the history and go through the differences.
I'm going to learn something because I didn't when he kind of talked about this. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I have no idea. I mean, I understand, you know, cutlery as a whole, but not the history of by any means.
Well, hopefully, I'm not over promising.
It's okay. But, I mean, something to learn is always worth something. You know, knowledge in itself is always good.
In the end, they're tools.
Yeah.
So if you think about it in the sense of their tools,
yeah,
and you're good at history, that's basically the whole McGillicuddy right there, right? Now, the babies in some cultures still hold the best utensils around, which are your hands, your fingers, you know? And I've never eaten at a Moroccan place. Actually, I have.
Like a true Moroccan place, yeah.
A true Moroccan place. You know, their style of food lends itself to the hands.
The scoop and the, you know.
Yeah, because you're breaking stuff.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
And it's also communal, you know. Obviously, you're going to stick to your side of the bowl. The concept of breaking bread, my man. You know, there's usually communal bowls. Mm-hmm. You always take from your side of the bowl, and you're scooping that way, and you're eating and things like that. And there's really no double dipping because you're taking the portion that
One piece, and you're eating that as a whole.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, but you know,
it is what it is.
When in Morocco, or I'm not familiar with it if it's just Northern Africa or wherever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. Now let's start at 500,000 BC, the Stone Age. Okay.
Boom.
Now with the Stone Age, you're going to have things like sharp stones for cutting meat.
Okay.
And fruit.
Yeah.
Right. Basically, you're going to use the stone to break into the fruit. Mm-hmm. If there's a sharp edge, you're using that to peel.
Yeah.
And you're using that to carve meat, pieces of meat away from bone and
from the animal that they killed, all the above. Yeah.
Correct. And so from there, it graduates to just the materials that you have on hand, whether it's wood or seashells. Or animal horns, you can imagine that you use the animal horns to drink from.
Mm-hmm.
And
like Vikings almost.
That's debatable.
Okay.
You know, the idea that Vikings even had that garb is, you know, with the horns on the helmet and stuff like that is not accurate.
Okay.
But it's pervasive because you tell anybody to draw anything from, you know, about or conjure any images of Vikings.
It's the first thing that's coming to mind.
Yeah, they got the hat with the horns and things like that. And I wonder where that part of it originates. Mm-hmm. But there's no evidence that says that they actually wore that. again, I'm not a historian, so don't anybody, you know, write me and tell me, you know, this, that, and the other, but...
I mean, you can, and we like to know the information.
That's true.
Especially if you have knowledge of it that we don't have.
That's the manner in which you may write me.
Yes.
You know, but don't tell me, hey, you know, you got... I'm telling you what I believe to be true.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not law. Now, so the Stone Age era... You're going 12,000 BC is the introduction of pottery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the introductory of pottery is going to let you fashion bowls. So there's going to be more food storage.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also a step up in technology.
Yeah. So that's like probably the earlier kilns and, you know, doing the pottery with natural.
Yeah.
Drying, I mean, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You're going to now you're really. You're going to be holding things like water. Food. So when if you're not eating it off the animal's bones or just eating the fruit and you're storing it in these bowls, you're going to need something to scoop it out with.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be scooping. And this is like, I'm talking ancient times.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're still going to be using the flattened stones and things like that. And you're going to be keeping them. For those reasons, these are going to be your utensils, and so now that you have more stylized bowls, you have more stylized utensils to get things out of those bowls.
Okay.
So you have pieces of stone forming simple knives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't really have any illustrations. Obviously, okay. This is not the place for illustrations, but a lot of times if there are, I'll put them in the show notes.
Okay, cool.
Now,
we'll find some for you guys.
Now, coming a few thousand years later, we're going to the first use of the chopsticks in ancient China. That's about 3000 BC. Now, ancient China, this is not, you know, throughout the whole East. And now chopsticks is a whole other deal, okay?
Love chopsticks.
Do you? So you know how to use chopsticks?
Yes.
Okay. It's a whole different ballgame.
Absolutely.
And like anything else, we see things, like the show I'm going to do next week, we see things on the surface, like a fork. Mm-hmm. A fork is not a fork is not a fork. They're different shapes of forks.
Absolutely. They're
different number of tines and things like that. Same with the knives. Now, it's similar to chopsticks. Do you know the differences in the chopsticks?
No.
All right.
Educate me.
Now, Chinese chopsticks are different than Japanese okay. chopsticks, and then it even goes into the Pacific Rim, whether it's Korea and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They also have their different
versions
of chopsticks, and it, culturally, they may look similar, but they're quite. I don't want to say quite different, because quite different means it's a different utensil, yeah. but they are. Now, when you hold a Japanese chopstick, it tends to be pointier at the bottom. Tip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that the bottom? That sounds like the top to me.
Well, where the food, where you're grabbing the food is thinner than the top. The top
correct.
Is thicker.
Yes. It's pointier.
Yeah.
Okay. And then with the Chinese chopsticks, they tend to be wider.
Okay.
Thicker throughout the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the ends are blunt. Or even flatter.
Mm, okay.
Okay. And there are differences. Obviously, there's differences in the food, but how you use them.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, it's really impolite to stab your food in China.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's why their tips are blunt.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. Okay.
And in Japan, I believe it to be impolite to cross your chopsticks on the table.
Mm,
you know, okay. they should be parallel, and a whole other show.
Yeah.
And so there's differences in the lengths in the mm-hmm. chopsticks, the body of them. I'm trying to imagine the Korean chopsticks. They're medium in length.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but just know that there are differences.
They're all different.
Like,
okay,
the
cool.
major differences is in the tips.
The width, in the tips.
The thickness, the width, and the length.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's ancient China. Now we're going into the Bronze Age now.
Okay.
Okay. So now the Bronze Age, what's that? Bronze, copper,
yeah.
and more weapons and more tools.
More weapons, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, think of more durability
mm-hmm.
now in the
utensils you're
in
eating
the utensils.
With. Yeah.
Yeah. Because wood's not going to really hold up.
And it splinters. And, you know.
It's a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, it rots.
Mm-hmm.
It wears down.
Absolutely.
Obviously, for knives and things like that, you wouldn't be able to use that for a mm-hmm. knife. But then for stones and shells, that cutting blade is going to, or that cutting edge, I should say, is going to be, you know, not durable. So
yeah.
that part of history is going to usher in more,
mm-hmm.
but still not even close to being ubiquitous as far as we're talking. These are the invention portions
yeah.
of it, you know. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the spoons are the earliest,
mm-hmm.
then knives. Well, maybe not then knives. I can't imagine that, you know. I say then knives because you always want to use something, you know, sharp to stick
I mean, like,
things.
I think, like you said from the beginning, there's always been knives. Though.
Yeah, there's always been knives.
Or something that's going to cut into something.
Correct. And a lot of this is the transition from tools and weapons, as in tools, as in a cooking mm-hmm. utensil,
yeah.
but not necessarily eating utensil.
Yeah.
So the knives are going to be more pointy than mm-hmm. sharp.
Exactly.
Okay. And then as they become more useful and smaller and become, you know, when technology can make
yeah.
better,
similar to what we
reliable,
have today, but yes,
then they became more sharp, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm hoping I'm explaining it well.
I get it.
Now, as we're starting to make them more durable,
mm-hmm.
they become more status symbols, particularly for the wealthy.
Okay.
The differences are going to be, what do we have? Bronze and copper. That's going to be more accessible to the lower class, if it were.
Especially for that time age, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we even say middle class.
Yeah.
You know, the lower class, they're still eating with their fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Make no bones about
absolutely.
it.
Absolutely. They're just eating to be eating.
But now you have the wealthy to be able to afford status symbols like the silver and gold, and those they're using the silverware.
Is that where the term silverware
holding
comes from?
The silverware? I don't know.
Okay,
I'm assuming.
I'm gonna look into that for the next show
because there's silverware, there's flatware, there's things like that, and I can imagine.
Yeah,
I can imagine. Now the status part of it becomes important. Now they're starting to use gold spoons as there's something called gifting spoons.
Gotcha.
Okay. Back in the day, the wealthy would give gifting spoons to their the parents of newborns, and it's supposed that that's where the phrase silver spoon came from. Right? So not being born with a silver spoon in your mouth, it's more of a, what's it called, an idiom more so than a truism.
Yes.
Right? So they would give, you know, a spoon made of silver or gold as a gifting spoon. And they were using larger models of spoons as coronation spoons for all the kings. They would be, before their coronation, they would get a big gold spoon, things like that. So now spoons are becoming more of a status symbol, more so than a true eating utensil. Now we're going to go into, out of like that ceremonial, you know, reason for having that particular utensil anyway, and we're going to usher in the Iron Age. Okay, so now the Iron Age, things are starting to be able to be forged.
Yes.
And forged, you're going to be able to have more of a better edge.
Yes.
And a better point.
Yeah, sharper. Okay,
correct. Still a little big for eating, but we're talking, we're still in the invention part of things and the refinement part of things more so than the widespread adoption of them. Now we're going to 200 BC or so with the Chinese Han dynasty.
The Han dynasty?
They're starting to use chopsticks more widely as a utensil with their meals. Okay. So whereas ancient China, they invented it. So now it's starting to spread.
Because, now it's being a household name almost.
Yeah. Now it's starting to spread more to the their way of life.
Their culture as a whole.
Correct. At this time, although all the utensils were invented, now we're starting to see them being adopted through this part of history, right? So you're shifting from BC to AD. And so the 5th and 6th century, the spoon is starting to be adopted in more and more countries. From, you know, they're starting to attach handles to them, you know?
Well, I mean, that makes sense because over that time, from where we jump to where we are now, it's during the Roman dynasty, and they had a very large expanse of the world. So whatever they probably were issuing out is going to spread around with how they do things.
Yeah. So there's a, you know, so basically civilization
is growing.
It's growing.
Yes.
And with that, you're going to really spread your technologies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you're taking over places, you know.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You know, you're going to have a simple wood handle on these utensils. And so, you know, bone, wood, shell, it's still commonplace, still simple, but we're moving right along with the silverware. With the 6th to 10th century AD, we're getting more commonplace is the wealthier using modernized.
What we start to see as silverware.
Yeah.
Now you're in the era of kings and queens and people start to separate themselves from the other, from dynasties are less prevalent, but now we're making countries.
Yeah, now we're making countries. And so then after the Ming Dynasty, that's when chopsticks are all over China.
Yeah.
And I believe that to be 1368 to 1644. You have, you know, now chopsticks all
everywhere.
Over China.
Yeah.
The 17th century, the fork, which you would think would be the first one.
No, but the spoon makes sense to be the first real utensil because it's easier to scoop. You can still, in your mind, you're breaking stuff down. You don't need to, a lot of eating and stuff back then was porridge or soup based, because you would get all these ingredients like potatoes and stuff that you farmed, and you would put them into water, and that's how you started making these flavors and combining things. So everything, it was a lot easier with a spoon because it was soupy kind of foods, you know, and you would dip your bread into that kind of stuff, and depending on what your culture was. But across the board, when you think about it, if you're, you know, you're killing and, you know, you got a pot, you learned, like you said, we first started with the way back was when you first started making pottery. Potteries, you know, you start being able to cook things, and that's the first thing you're gonna do is learn to cook easy with water, adding food, vegetables, and getting all these flavors going.
Yeah. The fork used to be just a two-tined tool. I want to say tool because it was more for cooking, transferring. What's that thing called? You see them at
It look more like how you get that when you were barbecuing, those things?
Yeah. Or you hold the meat when you're cutting it?
They're not skewers, but there's something along those lines. I know exactly what you mean.
Man, I don't know why that escapes me.
It actually has a name for it, not a pitchfork, but it's that kind of idea. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. And apology. You know what? If you can, see if you can look it up.
Okay.
I don't know what you would put it as, but I will filibuster until you get that.
Carving fork.
Carving fork.
Is a two-pronged fork used to hold meat steady while it's being carved.
Now, that's exactly what the early forks were.
Yes.
They were used to hold the meat steady while you cut the food. And now the carving fork, see, that's, I'm going to add that to next week's show, because that's the very definition of a tool more so than, you know, an eating utensil, because there's cocktail forks, and traditionally those only have two tines. Now they have three. There's cake forks. There's...
Let them eat cake.
Let them eat cake. And yes, so now you get into...
There's cake forks. There's dinner forks, fish, lunch forks, lobster forks, fruit, salad, dessert, ice cream forks, believe it or not.
Pastry. Really? An ice cream fork?
Yeah. It's pastry, seafood, strawberry forks, a snail fork, which I understand, and an oyster fork.
Bam. Yeah. Now, I'm curious about the ice cream fork. Does it look like a spork?
Kind of. It's not so in the design. So it's like a half spork.
Okay.
It has the rounded off edge, but only on one side.
It has tines?
It has three.
What?
Yeah, but it's rounded off. So only on one edge, it's more like a spoon. The other edge is like a fork.
An ice cream fork.
Yes.
I would never have guessed that.
Yes. Man. No, that's the dessert fork I just explained. Sorry. The ice cream fork is almost like a trident.
Okay.
So it is rounded on both sides.
Okay.
Yes. And it looks more like a spork, but instead of, you know how the sporks just kind of have like the, like they get a little sharp, they go almost like this and they kind of create this kind of nice, almost very regal looking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is at any point it was,
it looks like it cuts through the ice cream too. So it kind of looks, so it makes it easier, but you still have that spoon aspect to it.
You know what? That's probably back in the day when they weren't pumping air into these doggone ice creams, is that the ice creams were hard, man.
Yeah.
You see them getting into the bin and like scooping them out. Exactly.
You have to really get in there.
I just let it soften up.
Yeah.
skip the whole fork.
Skip the whole process.
Well, make sure you join us next week when we get into the differences in the
and all those things we just talked about.
All those things that we just talked about, and I do know a good amount, but there's more I need to learn because I didn't know there was an ice cream fork.
So right now, where are we at in history? We are what? We're closer to like the 1700s?
Yeah, we're close. We're in the 17th century. And now that Europe is starting to have more the modern silverware commonplace, from there, things are going to start to spread.
Okay.
And that's where my intentions are to get into the differences in the utensils. Because from there, you don't want to get into the minutiae of what's where. Now we have modern silverware, you know, or flatware or dinnerware or whatever the case may be. The knife was invented and there's different forms of it. The fork, and the fork probably has the most variety.
Yeah.
And then,
as we just kind of talked about.
Yes. And then obviously there's, you know, a spoon for different occasions.
Absolutely.
Right. And so I hope I was able to give you a little bit of
a little history lesson,
a little glimpse into the silverware or absolutely. Utensils or
the as tools it were. For eating.
Tools of the of man. Yes. And now I like to tell you the genesis of how I come up with these.
Yeah, I was gonna show ideas, because I thought it was very interesting.
Now, we have one singular pasta dish at my particular mm-hmm. restaurant. We're a seafood restaurant, so we have a seafood linguine.
Perfect.
And a guest of mine, full disclosure, we do not mark our table
with a
pasta spoon, if you will, or a large spoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the person asked for a spoon, but I noticed, this is my check back, they weren't eating. Almost like a refusal to eat without a spoon. Okay, I get them a spoon. And one of the Facebook groups that I'm in, I don't, post anything regularly or anything like that. I'm just a member because I'm
you like
I'm into,
to research certain things. Absolutely.
Not only that, I'm into restaurant stuff, you know?
Obviously.
So yes, obviously. So I posted a question. Am I the only one who eats a pasta without a spoon? You know, or am I the only one that knows how to do that? What? Let me know if it's a faux pas. Should I just be straight giving them a spoon off the rip? I want to know. And I think my question was misconstrued as me being not giving them a spoon because I don't use a spoon. That's not, I'm here to bring you stuff. So no problem. But I want to know how to make my job easier and more efficient. And I got very divisive responses as far as, or divided, I should say. Some people didn't know it was a thing to eat long pasta with a spoon.
I didn't know it was a thing.
And I mean,
over time I understood, but I didn't, originally I was like, as a kid, I ate it with a fork.
Yeah.
I thought it was easier to twirl it up and put it in your mouth.
Use the size of the bowl. Yeah. It's not challenging.
Yeah.
You know?
Or use the bread or whatever you else needed to kind of help you out throughout the dish.
I never really needed help, but
you know what I mean?
And I even stated, I get it's a preference or whatever the case may be. And what I found out that was culturally, some people just grew up that way. Mm-hmm. They used a spoon or not spoon to spoon or not to spoon.
Now tell them about the origin of the spoon itself with the pasta dish.
So I got one particularly interesting response from a person who paraphrased from an old school Italian person. Mm-hmm. And they said that in Italy, they will serve the pasta with a spoon, but it's not for twirling. It's for tossing. Mm-hmm. Tossing the
sauce with the noodles.
The sauce with the light sauce with the noodle and the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I thought that was very insightful. I love learning.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell you that I know everything. We're on this journey together.
Absolutely.
And I love the fact that, people may have misconstrued that as the necessity.
The habit. Absolutely.
To have a spoon served with. But yes, to toss the light sauce with your noodles and cheese, and that's what the spoon apparently, or maybe not.
You gotta mix the gravy with the noodles, you know what I'm saying?
And we're gonna leave it at that. If you really have light on this subject, let me know and I'll share it with the audience. I'm active on Instagram. You could follow me on Instagram at The Modern Waiter Podcast. And if you want to email me, I'm themodernwaiter@gmail.com. And we are growing and we're grateful for you. And if you want to support our show, the best way that you could do that is pass it along to a friend. Tell them you listen to The Modern Waiter Podcast and it was pretty cool. Also, you can also write us a review. You can give us 5 stars and, what's that?
I said, preferably. I said it quietly. Then you made me say it out loud.
Yeah. Why not? What's the point of dogging somebody out?
It was subliminal. It was my preferably was subliminal.
I'm overt. I'm an overt kind of guy. We're all about love and support here. If there are ways to improve, you let us know privately. You don't put people on blast. You got to hold people up. You know what I mean?
True.
There's ways to do things. And
tell them about our people.
Our people. Our people, we are part of the One Star Podcast Network, the one-stop shop for all your restaurant-centric podcasts. We have The Macaroni Zone, Copper and Heat. We have our man, Quaylen Harris.
Confessions of a Server.
Confessions of a Server. The Ladies, who are...
Sidework Podcast.
And we also have In Your Mouth Podcast. We did that right from memory. Give them a listen. You know, we're a growing network and we're very diverse. We have voices from different
everywhere.
Peoples.
Yes.
Put it that way.
Absolutely.
You know, and you'll know what
we're
I mean.
We're crossing the full spectrum with it.
We're crossing the full spectrum of it. You know, modern day all day. And every day of the week, we have a new podcast for your listening pleasure, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So every weekday.
And Friday.
Did I forget Friday?
It's okay.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday!
And we are out, people. Thank you guys so much for listening.
I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Daniel Villa. Subscribe. And I'm gone!
Later.
It's a five-starter, stays fit in the flame, got the game in my name.